And their Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of First Fruits, Feast of Pentecost, which is also weeks. And it says, and then the fall feast are the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And there's seven of them. See, that is not just a coincidence either, but it's powerful because the number seven means perfection. It means perfection. So there's perfection in this, and we can understand this and see this, that God had these feasts that were there, that they were to celebrate them, but every one of them were the answer to the situation that they were going through. Hallelujah. They were the answer for what they were going through, and we could see the first one. We all know what Passover is. I don't know. I'm going to kind of touch base with it real quick with you, and so you can get a hold of it a little bit. This thing's not turning over this way. I don't know why. First, Passover. In let me go to Exodus 12:1. I just want to give you these brief ones. In verse 5, it says that we are to have a lamb. Don't we know that the lamb is Jesus Christ? And John, the first time he's noticed or he's recognized as the Lamb of God was by John, where he said this. And remember, they were Jewish and they understood the feast. They understood what was happening. They understood that there was a Lamb that had to come and he was without blemish, that there was a Messiah. And when John noticed, he seen Jesus coming, he said, "Behold, what? The Lamb of God." Listen, there wasn't a natural lamb, but listen, there was a shadow and a type of, and that's what Jesus was. He was a type of lamb. He was that lamb that was used as a sacrifice, but now here's a better covenant that was coming. This was something that was beyond what was, that every year they had to come and bring a lamb and sacrifice the lamb, and they had to have the blood, the offering, and it was given for that purpose to be forgiven of sins, and it had to happen every single year, time and time again. But Jesus was the fulfillment of that. He was the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. And listen, here's what's powerful. This is what's amazing. The next day, say the next day, John the Baptist, John, he looked and here he was. Here comes Jesus again. And he looks at him and this time he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." See, the day before he said, "Who takes away the sin of the world." But the next day, he said, "Just behold the Lamb." We got to recognize and we got to understand that He already took away the sin of the world. We have to believe that He is significant. He is enough to take away the sin. He's more than enough. Tell someone He's more than enough. He's more than enough. And we can see that. See, the Passover was, it was present. It was when they were coming out of Egypt. And, I almost went flying there. He says, but this lamb had to be without blemish. Jesus was without blemish. He says, and now what I want you to do is you take that lamb. He says, I want you to take the blood of that lamb. He says, I want you to put it on the doorpost of that, of the door. Hallelujah. Do you know that that's what we do when we receive Christ as our Savior, as our sacrificial lamb, that we put the blood upon our hearts, upon the doorpost of our lives. Hallelujah. That's what we do. That's so significant for us to understand that. Do we see that? That they put that, he says, put it on the doorpost. And then in verse 9, I want to try to just jump through these real quick. He says, eat the whole lamb. Don't water it down. See, we can't water down the Word of God. We can't water down the lamb to say, well, it's Jesus and something else. It's not Jesus and something else. It's not Jesus and then you got to do this to receive what He has for you. It's not Jesus and something else. It's just Jesus. And he says, and I want you to eat the whole lamb. Say the whole lamb. Whew. Listen, he said every part of the lamb. Now listen, they took the head of the lamb. That's hard for me to take hold of, man. You know, they ate the whole thing. Every part of it. Do you know, listen, he wants you to take the whole thing. He wants you to partake of all that he has. Everything that he is, he wants you to take hold of. See, that's the powerful thing. We understand that and know that when we take hold of all that He is for me is what I need. And that's so neat that He said that. He says, take hold the whole lamb. He says, and He says, and therefore, He says, you shall, this is powerful. Listen, these are details. These are details. And he says, remain until morning, and that morning remaineth. He said, burn it with fire. He says, thus shalt you eat it with your loins girded and your shoes on your feet and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. And it is the Lord's Passover. Do you know what happens whenever you're eating lamb and you participate with the lamb and you're taking hold of who he is in your lives? It'll cause you to move out of place of bondage. Listen, do you know that's the only simple? It wasn't something that I did. It was all that I did is took hold of what he did. Jesus Christ took away my sin. I took hold of what the Lamb did. Applied it in my life. Ate the whole thing. Caused me to move out of Egypt. Place of bondage. Place of captivity. When you eat the lamb, it'll cause you to get out of captivity. Whatever's holding you captive, whatever's holding you down, when you eat the lamb, it'll move you out. Come on, just eat the lamb. We need to eat more lamb. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to eat more Jesus. We need to take hold of that. Just like tonight, we're coming together. We are coming together and eating the lamb. Wow. Take hold of what God has provided for us. Listen, I got to get through this. There's only one. Slow down in Jesus' name. Listen, he says, and that blood will be a token. It's a token. It's that life source. It's your life source. He says, and when the death angel comes, it'll pass over you. So that's where we get Passover. He says, it will pass over you. That he is my strong tower. He is my protection. Amen? And it'll pass over me. It'll pass over me. Hallelujah. Listen, Jesus Christ fulfilled in Christ. He is our Savior whose sacrificial blood was shed on Calvary. John 1:29. I'm going to give you these scriptures. You can write them down or I can give them to you later. Print these off for you. 1 Corinthians 5:6 through 8. He's our Passover lamb. Now fulfilled, applied to us. Passover means this. We are redeemed by his blood and saved by from the destroyer. Romans 5:9 through 10. 1 Peter 1:18 through 19. Now the next one. The next one is unleavened bread. And we can see here in, let me look here, see where we're going to go here. Exodus 12:15. It's just right here. It says, 7 days. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away the leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day unto the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Listen, that is the declaration to understand that sin, that Jesus Christ took away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. He is the bread that took away the sin of the world. He took away that sin. And we can't stay in that place, but we got to receive the fullness of what he did. So he's showing us that there's a participating in Christ with that feast. As we partake of him as being the Lamb of God. And it says this. It says, unleavened bread. He is the bread of life, the one who removed the leaven, which is sin from mankind. John 6:48. It says, an unleavened bread, we forsake Egypt, that worldly place, and we begin to walk with God in holiness, sincerity, and truth. 1 Corinthians 5:5-8. See, that's what it does. It says, when you participate that, he says that, listen, that is sin that is taken away. Taken away. And as you eat the bread, a lot of eating going on, huh? A lot of eating. I like to eat. These feasts have to do with eating. Listen, and that's so significant that he takes away that leaven, that thing that sometimes we struggle with and that he's already taken away. We just have to come to that, like I said, Saturday night is what I believe. And I always say this, listen, if something's not turning in my life, then I need to stop and think, what am I believing? Because what you believe will cause you to change. See, the children of Israel, something came to their awareness that when they began to believe what God says about the lamb and putting it on the doorpost, it changed their position of where they were. It moved them. So they're celebrating that. The third one is first fruits. I like first fruits. I think this is significant. This is powerful. And we can see these in Leviticus because he begins to tell all of these are in Leviticus, but we're going to... Leviticus 23. I'm sorry, I'm trying to give you all of these in one night. Is that all right? We're almost halfway through. Jeez, that's fast. Right? I'm doing good. Leviticus 9 through 14. 23, 9 through 14. And it says, and the Lord said to Moses, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have the Sabbath, a memorial, blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation. And you shall not do servant work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying this. Listen, I think this is so significant because it's the sound of trumpets. See, I want you to understand something, that this is significant for them to say that they were going from a place, he says, and I don't want you to serve anymore. That he was going from a place of being servants to being men and women of God. To being growing up, to maturing. It speaks of maturing. See, when you hear that sound, and the Bible says that in Revelation, it says, in the sound of a trumpet that I heard behind me. There's revelation and understanding that when we hear the sound and it causes us to rise up, that we hear that. And where was the sound coming from? Why did it say that? It said the sound was behind him. I want you to know that everything you need has already happened in Christ. The sound that we believe, the sound of what he's done for me, and we receive it into our hearts, it's already been done. I have the ability today, tell someone today, to grow up in Christ, to move in the fullness of Christ, to live victorious, not some other day, not someday by and by, but right here, right now, this has already been fulfilled, that I can receive it in my life, hear the sound that God's saying. That quickens us. When we hear that sound, it's the sound of the trumpets, it causes us to move, and it causes us to rise in our spirit, and to move into what God's saying. Wow, that's a powerful thing. And you know the sound of the trumpets? You know what they were? The horns of a male lamb. Coincidence? Come on, we're talking about the Lamb of God. He is the answer and everything that we need. Everything that you're ailing or hurting, everything that's broken in this world needs Jesus. That's the answer. Sometimes we make it so complicated. Sometimes we try to say, here's seven steps to do this. Just Jesus. Come on, amen. Just eat Jesus. Just partake of Christ. Hallelujah. Just walk with Him. Just take hold of it. Just believe that He loves you, like you said. Just take hold of that truth of what He said about you. That I love you. I've done all this for you. This is a story for you. This is a story for you. These feasts were fulfilled for you. And you're participating in them. Amen. Listen, we don't have to celebrate the feast individually two times a year or three times a year, whatever they are. We celebrate them every single day. When I stand up to the sound of the trumpets, when I take hold of the Lamb, I'm celebrating Passover. Amen? I'm celebrating Passover. When I am putting away sin because of what He's done, I'm celebrating unleavened bread. The feast of unleavened bread. Amen? Listen, this is applied in Christ. It says, the first fruits, the resurrected Messiah. Oh, where did I go? I jumped on to, I skipped over to. How did I do that? We are no longer servants, but we're sons when we hear the sound of the trumpets. No longer servants, but we're sons. Ephesians says that we are the full measure in Christ. We got it all together in Jesus. We got it all together in Christ. He is the clear-sounding living Word who introduced the message of perfection, maturity. The one who was the beginning of it all. We hear the call to come to maturity within the rented veil that was torn down. The separation. We hear the sound of maturity as because of the veil that was ripped down. That separated you from God. Now I could come into as a son. Not separated as a servant, but a son. We come before God now. Not because not in our own strength, but in what Christ done. Not as servants, but as sons. As sons. See, that to me is powerful. That's so powerful for us to realize that, know that I come before Him as a son. Wow. Amen? Okay, let's go back to first fruits. First fruits is the resurrected Messiah, the first fruits of them that slept. Let's look at it in Leviticus 23:9. Is that where we're at? Yeah, 9 through 14. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying unto the children of Israel, when you come to the land which I give unto you, reap the harvest thereof. Reap the harvest. And then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And you shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. And the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And you shall offer that day when you wave the sheaf, and he lamb without blemish of the first year for the burnt offering of the Lord. Wow. You know, I don't know if everybody's ever noticed, but up here, up in all those, you could see that those are sheaves of wheat in the house of God. I think it's powerful. But see, that was the first fruits. And it's powerful for us to understand that that means a resurrected life. That means the first fruit of many. That because of Jesus Christ, I don't have to stay dead under sin. I don't have to stay in that old nature, overtaken, but I can be risen in Him. And we come, there's a place of understanding that I am alive in Christ. I'm alive in Him. He says, wave your banner, hallelujah. Lift up your sheaves. Recognize and understand that you are risen in Jesus Christ. I'm no longer dead, but I'm alive. Amen? He says, in the first fruits, He says, He is the resurrected Messiah, the first fruits of them that slept, those that were dead. He says in 1 Corinthians 15:20. And now applied to us is this, we arise to walk in the newness of life, knowing Him in the power of His resurrection life. Wow. Romans 6, 1 through 14 and Philippians 3, 10 through 11. Amen? Did I give you the right ones? Yeah. Small writing. Here's the next one is Pentecost or weeks. And we could see this. He says, and I want you to celebrate this. And he says, these are the weeks. He says, and he fulfilled the law and is anointed one who baptized with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Luke 4, 16, Acts 1, 5. And it's fulfilled in Pentecost. This is applied to us. He says, we are filled with the Holy Spirit, endowed with power from on high. Acts 2, 1 through 4. Ephesians 1, 13 through 14. He fulfilled this. He is Pentecost. Now, I want you to know that they celebrated this 50 days after. 50 days after the first fruits, after that resurrection. Do you know what happens 50 days after Jesus rose from the grave? Come on, Pentecost took place. It was not by chance, but He was fulfilling that feast with His life. And we were endowed with power. Power was poured upon His church and His people to arise in power and authority. Man, that is, I love that. And it's not just by chance that we see this. Amen? It's not by chance that we can recognize this. 50 days after the resurrection was Pentecost. Which one are we at now? We had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th. Fifth one? Sixth one. I did trumpets. First fruits. Pentecost. Yes. The next one is in Leviticus 16. You all right? This is the day, and some of you have heard of it. It's Yom Kippur, or Kippur, however you want to say it. The word Kippur means cover, that there's a covering. And this is celebrated, but this is so significant for us to understand that when they did, was what they would do is they would take two goats, and there's more to this, but I want you to see this, that they would take two goats, And you look at these things in the Old Testament and you're thinking, you know, this is, you know, all this stuff, you know, but there had to be something lesser before there was something greater. There's a type and shadow that God has rehearsed something for us all through creation to reveal to us that we need a Savior. Because sometimes we're just, He just got to draw us a picture. Reveal things to us. And He revealed to us in types and shadows that we could take hold of and see. And as He began to reveal it to us, we could see here that the Day of Atonement was a taking away of sin that for all the nations. And there were things that went on here that at this time that they do now as they celebrate Yom Kippur is they take and they fast and they come to a place of praying, and they do it for one whole day. And they celebrate that, and they pray, and they set their hearts towards God. It's something we need to do every day. Set our hearts towards the Father. We need to celebrate that in our lives. And they would bring these goats in, and they would put them before the priest, and one of those priests would, or the ghost, not priest, one of the ghost goats would be killed. And they would take that blood, and they would sprinkle it upon the other one. And they would take the other one and they would bring it out. And this was for all those that sinned. All those that sinned. They would take that, and it represented that all those who sinned, they put all of it and placed it on that one goat. Where we get the word scapegoat. Where that one that takes all the blame. How many of you guys, we know that Jesus Christ was our scapegoat. He wasn't just the scapegoat, but He was the one that died. That the blood was poured on the other one. And then that goat was released into the wilderness. He took away our sin. He bore our sins. He bore our suffering. He took hold of that. That because of Him, because of what He's done. Let me give you this scripture. He is the high priest who atoned for man, the scapegoat, and the Lord's goat who put away sin, sickness, poverty, and death. Let's look at Isaiah 53. Just look at that real quick. Can you see that? Get that real quick. Isaiah 53. We're on the next to the last one anyway, so we're good. Just 53:1. And we'll just go through that. Listen. Who hath believed the report, and whom the Lord revealed? He revealed. Hallelujah. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form and comeliness, and when we shall see him, no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He carried our sorrows, yet did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. That God put all of our sin upon him, upon that goat, as God being the high priest. He placed all that man did, upon that one goat. Amen? He says, and with his stripes, wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities, chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with him, with his stripes, we were healed. We were healed. Next verse. All like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He has placed it all of it, everything upon him. Hallelujah. Everything that we've, all those things, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, and yet opened not his mouth. Come on, just like that goat that didn't open his mouth. Amen. Didn't argue, just took that upon him and just went out into the wilderness. And it says, as a lamb slaughtered, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Jesus went to the cross. He was taken for prison from the judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of many people was he stricken. Wow. He fulfilled. He was the Feast of Atonement. Fulfilling it all. Amen? The last one. is tabernacles. Leviticus 23:42. You shall dwell in booths. It seems funny. You're going to make these booths. He's going to move out of your place. He says, in booths, 7 days, all that the Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generation may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen. This is the Feast of Tabernacles. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the Lord of the feast, the booth in whom the Father lived and moved and had His being. We receive the full adoption and the redemption of our bodies, becoming a tabernacle for the fullness of God. We are the tabernacle. No longer do we have to do it with these booths. They would take these booths and it'd be outside. Jesus was right there in every one of them. He was part of that. And He says, and they would take these booths and they would take the palm leaves and palm branches, whatever they could, and they would build these things and they would stay within these outside of their homes, and they would build these things and everybody would come, and then all the people recognized the children of God were coming together and they had these booths. I want you to know that that's what happens. God wants to dwell within this tabernacle. He wants to dwell within each one of us. That He has many mansions. Look around, see many mansions. Hallelujah. And that means, mansions means a place to abode. The abode of God. God wants to abide within our lives. That's why He died. This is the fulfillment of our understanding to see that, listen, God just doesn't want to deliver us, take us out of sin. God just doesn't want to do something for us, but God wants to do something through us. See, that's the understanding that all those come together, the maturity of it, when I hear the trumpet sound, that I realize that God wants to do something through me, that God wants to do something in my life, that we can understand that God's just not some other place. That's what's so powerful for us to see, that He's not just some other place, that He did all these feasts. He was in the midst of their lives and their celebrations as they celebrated. He was right there in the midst of them, and they were celebrating what He's done. Here they were recognizing and understanding that, wow, God wants to do, the God of the heaven and earth wants to abide with us. He wants to dwell with us. He wants to live with us. He wants to be amongst us. That takes our should take our breath away. Wow. Wow. And we understand that. No. He wants to abide in me. Take hold of my life. Walk with me through my tribulations and my struggles and my sorrows and pains. Deliver me through those things. He wants to be the Passover in my life. He wants to be the tabernacle in my life. He wants to be the first fruits. Hallelujah. He wants to be the sound that I hear that moves me. We hear a lot of sounds. There's a lot of things that sometimes get our attention that causes us that. Sometimes there's, I want you to know that I feel this, that there's some things that we just can't get over, that they keep getting our attention and we keep struggling with them. I felt this last night when I was praying, that there's things in your lives that you've had struggle with, that no many times you give it to God, say, God, just take this. And the next time all of it comes against you again, and all of a sudden you fail again. You've been there? You guys can come on up. You guys can come on. We've been there. And the next, it comes again to us. And we face that thing all over again and over again. And it's a place of not trusting God or whatever that is. But God's with us. We need to trust Him. Know that, God, You got this. And believe, God, Lord, that You'll deliver me from whatever we're going through, whatever you're facing. And He's with you. So I want you to see, whenever you see the feast, recognize that He's always with you. Recognize that He's already provided everything. He's all that we need. He's my hope. He's my peace. He's my joy. He's my everything. And if I just trust Him and just believe, those things that I've battled time and time again, I can be released. Amen? Let's worship. Amen.
Lord of heaven, out of the dark. God Almighty. I just think about hands raised and, you know, the angels looking and singing and joining in the multitudes. You know, we can't even fathom the multitudes in heaven that are in worship all the time, worshiping our Lord. If we can just let that sink in and just let the Spirit flow, it is amazing when you think about what God is capable of. Just let Him flow in your life. Fill your hearts right now as we sing this.
thank you that you had it all planned out. Thank you through the Old Testament. We see you, Jesus, time and time again. We see you in the New Testament. We see you now, Lord, and what you're doing in our lives. Thank you so much, God. We just give you all control because you alone have it under control. Thank you so much for tonight. Amen.
Oh, Lord.